In the book of Acts, the first chapter, I'm going to read from verse 1 through 8. And verse 1 and verse 8 is going to be our key passage of reference. Acts 1 and verse 8. The former treatise, Luke starts out writing. The former treatise, meaning Luke, the book of Luke. Luke 1 and verse 1 says, the former treatise have I written. Acts chapter 1, the former treatise, have I written, have I made? O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, began both to do and teach. That's powerful. Because he gives us the order. He did, and then he taught. He demonstrated, and then he taught how to do what he demonstrated. And that's what we want this weekend. That God will do something very specific with us. I don't know about you. I assume nothing. Sure, I've been walking with the Lord some 40-something years. But I still see myself as one that is still learning. And if you listen to me pray, I don't pray like for them. I pray for us because I am part of the prayer. And I don't think that's going to change. Because there's still much more that the Lord has done that we don't know and we have not experienced, but it is His will to teach us. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. After that he, through the what? Holy Ghost. That's how he gave his commandment, through the Holy Ghost. Please note that. The commandments of God came through the Holy Ghost. And the day of Pentecost, the first Pentecost was when God gave the Ten Commandments. But now the Lord is given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen. Whom he had what? Chosen. Let me just look at something here. This is not what I intended to do, but let's see what the Lord did. The Bible tells us that the Lord called his disciples so that they will be with him, and then he empowered them, and he also made them apostles. It says in Mark 3, And I'm going to come back to Acts. And he, meaning the Lord, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. Notice the commandments he gave unto the apostle whom he had chosen. Which are these people? He called them up the mountain and they came to him. He called them and they came to him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. First thing. And that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, his son named Peter. So the first thing that we see is that he is speaking a new name over these guys. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, brother of James, and he son named them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. So first thing, when he called them up to be with him, is that he made a name change. He called them what they are to be. Now, it tells us about these first three here, Peter, James, and John. Yeah? But when he made this statement here, called him Peter, we will think that the first time he called him Peter was when he called the church or called the disciples to him, and he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man?" Who do they say? And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." When he asked them, I'm not just asking you about what they said. I'm asking you now, who do you say that I am? And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you." And he calls him Peter. "On this rock, I'm going to build my church." Do you remember this? Okay. He calls them up the mountain so that they will be with him. Why? So that they know him. And in knowing him, they are going to take on his character. My issue with myself and with the body of Christ is that we have not pursued to know. And I'm praying that this weekend, as we step into this time of Pentecost, that it will be a time of us really getting to know him. Getting to know him. Knowing who he is. For the word of God says, as we read on back in the book of Acts, and let's go to the book of Acts back again. You can read the rest of Mark 3, because that's where the Bible tells us that he called them his apostles. Verse 3, Acts 1. "To whom also he showed himself alive." He revealed himself alive after his passion or his death by many infallible proofs. He revealed himself by proofs, a demonstration of the reality that he is who he is. "Being seen of them," present tense continues, "seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? after you baptize us with this Holy Ghost? Jesus says in verse 7, He said unto them, and it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but you shall receive what? Shout it out. Power. You shall receive power. After. Someone say after. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're not going to receive power before. You're going to receive power after. So the Holy Ghost must be a very important foundation for power to be manifested. I wonder whether today we are really operating with the power that God wants us to operate with. And if not, is it possible that the Holy Ghost that He promised is not resting upon many lives? He says, and when this Holy Ghost has come upon you and you've received power, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. You shall be witnesses to me. Not just for me, but you shall be witnesses to me. In other words, you are going to bring report back to me. Of what? Of what the Holy Ghost has been doing in you and through you, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and onto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want the power of God in my life like never before. But the precursor to the power is the Holy Ghost. So now I need to explore a little bit who the Holy Ghost is. Would that be a wise thing to do? The Holy Ghost. Let's not assume that we know everything. Let's just go to basics. This may sound a little bit boring, but it's foundational. And foundations are boring. It's nothing exciting about foundations. But if you don't have a good foundation, no building is going to stand. Amen? And based on how high you want your building, that's how strong your foundation has to be. If you just want a two-story building, your foundation doesn't have to be that solid. It has to be solid enough to handle two levels. But you cannot put 10 levels on that same foundation. It is only good for two. Yeah? So if I want more power, I need to understand this Holy Ghost better. Because that's foundational. Let's look. Firstly, this Holy Ghost, what is He about? Let's look at Psalm 139 and verse 7. And I'm going to go as quickly as I can through some of these regimens. Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And the hint is, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That is, everywhere present. You cannot run away from Him. He is everywhere, what? Present. Now, if I understand that, God is everywhere present, it impacts everything that I do. Because if He's everywhere present, He is not not present when you are not there. Amen? So my attitude, the way I talk, the way I do, the things I look at, the things I touch, the things I talk about, should be the same whether you're there or not. Because if my talk and what I look at, what I do, what I say, how I act is different when you are around, then I must be saying God is not everywhere present. He's only present when you are there. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you'll receive the Holy Spirit who is everywhere present, and then you're going to receive power. Because why am I going to give you power if you don't believe that I'm everywhere present? If I believe that the Spirit of God is everywhere present, then I know that the Holy Spirit also knows about what I don't see. What somebody is doing somewhere that I don't know anything about. That means then that I will not live my life in fear because the Spirit of God is everywhere present. Omnipresent. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And the hint there is that he is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. Some people say omniscience, but that's not it. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So he's everywhere present. And he knows everything. And he is able to search the things of man. If man is thinking something, he knows what the man is thinking. You know, years ago there was a movie, and I think there's another movie now that talks about what women think about or something like that. The title is that. You know, and there's this guy, you know, he could sense what the woman is thinking and so and act accordingly, and how everybody was so wild about them. Now, the Holy Spirit knows everything for the men and the women. He even knows what the animal is thinking. He knows every detail. He's omniscient. So if he knows everything, if I have him, then he is also a revelator of everything. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah? That's important. That's very important. God knows everything. The Holy Spirit knows everything. And that Holy Spirit that knows everything is what God wants to give to me. And then he will give me power. Wow. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is God, the Holy Spirit, because one thing that we learn about the Holy Spirit, and I taught you about this many years ago, is that before God does anything, the Spirit of God comes first. Before God created the world, the Spirit of God was there first. So, I taught you at that time, inspiration is in spirit action. So before Jesus was even born, the Spirit of God came first. Do you understand? This is foundational. So it makes a lot of sense when God says, you shall receive power after. Because the Spirit first, before anything else. No presence of the Spirit, no action. God says, you're going to experience my omnipotence, my all-powerfulness. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, and I'll talk about this again later, Acts 5, 3, 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And verse 4, while it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? But thou hast not lied unto what? Man, but unto what? God. So the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? You shall receive power after God is come upon you. Wow, that's interesting. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, the Holy Ghost is called equal with God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? Father, and of the Son, and of the what? Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal in the move. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, Hebrews 9 and verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an eternal Spirit. Amen? Of course, he has to be. If he's equal to Father and Son, and if he's God, he's got to be eternal. Romans 8 and verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God has a mind. If he has a mind, he thinks. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He has a mind, and his mind is focused on interceding for the saints according to the will of God. He's not going to intercede any other way. His mind is focused. Amen? Now, what does that mean to me? It means to me that if the Spirit is there and the Spirit is orchestrating my prayer life, that I'm not going to pray amiss. Amen? So there's no reason for me to, is this the will of God or is this not the will? If the Spirit of God is there, then I can always be bold when I pray, when I declare. Because the Spirit of God is leading me. When the Spirit of God is there, then I'll be able to prophesy faithfully based on what I know. Because he's a revelator and he has a mind. And his mind is the mind of God. It is the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's go further. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, he says, but all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit has a will. The Spirit of God has a will. The Spirit of God has a will. And that will is not contrary to the will of God. So, If this Spirit is upon my life and it has a will, then it is the will of God that I am moving in and with at all times. That must mean I must be confident. There's no fear, because I'm in the will. The Spirit of God leads, Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. Acts 16 and verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, shortly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. When they had instruction by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God had resisted them, told them not to go, but now the Spirit of God says, go. He gave direction. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returning from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He led Jesus. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Gave direction. He spoke. Then the Spirit said unto Philip. So the Spirit of God speaks. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit of God loves, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Spirit of God loves. Now, why am I going through all of this? Because many years ago, I had certain people from a certain Christian denomination that goes door to door. They'd come to my door, and I said to this young man and lady, I said, you don't want to come in here. So why not? I'm telling you, you don't want to come in here because you're going to get confused. So why don't you go and get your leader and come back tonight? So they came. And oh, did they ever make a mistake? Because from that point on, they marked my house and they said, I'm sure they told them, don't ever go to that address. Don't ever. Because one of the things that they tried to communicate was that the Holy Spirit was a force. I said, no, the Holy Spirit's a person. It's not a force. It has a force, but it's a person. It has a will. It loves. It leads. It has a mind. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 says, he searches minds. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, the Holy Spirit gets grieved. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve it. Because it's the Spirit, it says, it's by this Spirit that ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are sealed. The Holy Spirit is the one that seals you unto the day of redemption. In other words, when he seals you, he marks you. And by that seal, protects you unto the day of redemption, when we'll all be taken out of this sphere. That's the Spirit of God. He says you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost who seals you, the Holy Spirit that you must not grieve, comes upon you. In Romans 8 and verse 26, we did read that earlier. But let's look at it again. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. We don't know what we should pray. For as we ought, but the Spirit itself, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us. It intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit of God that is on your life intercedes for you. If it intercedes for you, it must mean that he's praying for you. And he's prophesying for you. And what does that mean to me? It simply means relax. You have somebody that the Lord Jesus Christ says is your helper. Amen? I don't need to worry. I just need to come, you know, whatever it is that I am aware of, I just come to God and say, God, I have this situation. I don't know how to deal with it. Holy Spirit, please take over this thing because I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. And now, when we turn it over to him, the Spirit of God is then able to, by his mind and by his will, tell us what we need to say. And it might not make any sense to you. Just like, let there be a Burger King. It does not make any sense. But that is what is needed to produce the results that you need. You know, those who have not been with us for a while will not understand what I just said, but it's okay. I don't want to go into the details of that. The Spirit of God knows exactly what to say. He knows what your need is. And so, this God who knows what my need is says, Van, come to me now. Out of the blue. And the next day, there's a van with the keys. So why am I worrying about that particular need when God knows how to produce it? So I'm not going to get all wrinkled because I'm fretting and worrying. Just need to relax. God knows exactly what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, so I chill. The same God that can speak to me to produce certain things can speak to somebody else somewhere and tell them, go over there and do such and such. The same Spirit of God is everywhere present. And he knows everything, and he searches the hearts of everybody. So what is the reason for fear, anxiety, developing high blood pressure, hypertension, because you just want to worry? What's the reason? You've got the Holy Ghost. And not just are you going to have the Holy Ghost, you're going to have dynamic power. That's extra. Hallelujah. I want it. What about you? Okay. Let's just delve in a little bit deeper. I like to look at first mentions. So in the New Testament, first mention of the Holy Spirit, let's look at Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, and we'll look at also verse 20 of that same chapter, Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ... Now the birth of Jesus Christ. Wow. was on this wise. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ happened. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Oh, think about that. Before they were physically involved, which meant that if they were physically involved, they would produce something if she was not barren. Before that happened, while they were engaged, Holy Spirit had kicked into action to produce a child inside of Mary. Fruitfulness, not based on natural laws. Think about that. First mention we have of the Holy Ghost is that he produces fruitfulness without natural means. So, Holy Ghost means that I do not put the predominant emphasis on what I can naturally do, but the Holy Ghost did not come upon her until, it says, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. There's got to be an engagement. A lawful engagement, because the Holy Spirit will not do anything without engagement. There's got to be an engagement. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. First things we hear about the Holy Ghost. Somebody is conceived. There's going to be a supernatural birthing. God said to us that this is the year, amen, of supernatural fruitfulness and what? Birthing. Whatever it is God wants to do in my life, do in your life. We must recognize it is going to be supernatural. But God has to have a platform to work with. And the platform you and I need to provide God with is the platform of continuity, being present so that God can do what he wants to do. In Mark 13 and verse 11, actually, before I go to Mark 13 and 11, let's look at Luke 1, verse 35 through 41. Let's go through that real quickly. Luke 1, 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Watch. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and then what? The power. Of whom? The highest. Shall overshadow thee. Therefore, because the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadows you, therefore also that holy thing, we shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Holy Ghost, power of the Most High, the Son of God. Holy Ghost, and God said, let there be light. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They are all involved all the time. Amen? And therefore, when God wanted to birth his church, guess what he did? Holy Ghost had to come. And flames of fire appeared on their head, and they began to speak in tongues. One of the traditional understandings is that when the flames of fire came, it was like words over their heads. They could see it. Hallelujah. Verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called what? Barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And then it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And watch this. And he entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And watch. And came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The babe leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that which is going to be birthed through her must be through the power of the Holy Ghost. John is not going to be able to fulfill his destiny without the Holy Ghost. The mother is going to birth him through the power of the Holy Ghost. Everything about our lives must be about the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm trying to get across to us this early evening. Everything about me must be about the move and the power of the Holy Ghost. Is there any other reason why the devil fights the move of the Holy Ghost? Fights it as hard as he can fight it, because without the Holy Ghost, we cannot truly be effective in an eternal perspective. You have to have this Holy Ghost. Say, Pastor, we have the Holy Ghost already. We speak in tongues. Yeah, I know. But sometimes you need to remind yourself about what you got so that you can think differently. Luke 1 and verse 67. Luke 1 and 67. What does that do? And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and what? Prophesied. So when the Holy Ghost comes, the grace to prophesy is made available. He prophesied based on that. And when he prophesied, he said, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, we read certain things about this Holy Ghost. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son." This is the first time Father is speaking to his Son. Yeah? So what happens before God spoke into the life of Jesus? Holy Ghost. Before God does anything, Holy Ghost. Huh? Before God does anything, Holy Ghost. Before you say, "I do," Holy Ghost. Before you start that business, Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Spirit of God involved in everything before you do it. Because God does nothing without Holy Ghost first. And this is the reason why God is going to tell us in just a moment that if you mess up with the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness. That's one thing about the Holy Ghost. There's no Father, Son, forgiveness. Holy Ghost, no forgiveness. I've looked through from the beginning to the end to find out whether it's possible to receive forgiveness when you mess with the Holy Ghost. And I cannot find one verse. Not one verse. So this Holy Ghost, we need, absolutely need, but we cannot mess around with the Holy Ghost. And you know what annoys the Holy Ghost? What annoys the Holy Ghost and what God calls blasphemy is when he, the Holy Ghost, who is the Lord of the harvest, huh? He is in charge of the harvest of God. When you do anything to disrupt the effectiveness of that harvest, your soul is cooked. You must never create an atmosphere that generates division in the body of Christ or cause men or women to fall away from God, because that means you are messing around with what God is doing. And what God is doing is gathering. He's not there to scatter these children of God. Well, I was right, and they were wrong. That's why. Be very careful. Be very careful, because if souls fall off from the kingdom of God because of your activities, speak in tongues all you want. We are going to see in just a moment. God spoke after the Holy Ghost came and says, "This is my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." Well, he was pleased because by this time he was already healing the sick and casting out demons, right? Not one thing done yet. He's not raised one dead, healed anybody. But what has he done? He just obeyed the instruction of the Father. He's presented himself to John the Baptist to be baptized. He placed honor on the Word of God, the supremacy of the Word of God. And this is amazing, because the Holy Spirit is now married to the Word, because the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. The three of them are connected. Wow. Luke 3:22. "In thee I am well pleased." You know, this is God confirming, the Holy Spirit. God uses the Holy Spirit to confirm his children. When God confirms you, he confirms you by the word of truth. Amen? John 7 and verse 39. We'll begin to wrap up and then we're going to pray. John 7 and 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So the Holy Spirit was not given until after Jesus was glorified. That's a key statement. Now, the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ is akin to him, you know, being raised from the dead and ascending and seated at the right hand of the Father. But that statement of being glorified is a consistent statement that is saying to us, when Jesus is glorified, the Spirit of God will be received. Because we're going to see that in just a moment. Because our glorification of the Lord is connected to our obedience. Your obedience to the will of God, the word of God, the directives of God is akin to that. Now, to establish that, let me do two things. Just remember that the glorification and is connected to obedience. Let me skip. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Let's look at that. Acts 5 and 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to whom? To them that obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. They did not receive him because Jesus was not yet glorified. The operation of the Holy Spirit cannot manifest itself in my life or in your life if our quest is not to glorify God. That's important for us to grasp. Now, let's look at two or three other verses. Look at John 14 and verse 26, where the Holy Spirit is promised us. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. The Holy Ghost is sent in the name of Jesus. He shall teach you all things. And we need to use the Holy Spirit for that purpose. He shall teach you all things. If you don't know something, ask the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you. And bring all things to your remembrance. He will bring all things to your remembrance. So you don't need to worry about whether you're going to remember this or remember that. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, it's good to take notes. Have your pen, your paper, and you write. It's very important. Because what you've written down, you can go back to and read again, and, oh yeah, I remember this. But your greatest source of remembrance is not on what you wrote down, because believe me, there's a lot of things I've written down in the past after I look at it again and say, what was I thinking when I wrote that? What is this? How does that make any sense? I can tell you, I have preached a message and was so anointed and so powerful. And one day I went back to that same message. I'm looking at it in my notes. I said, what? What is this? I said, Holy Ghost, what is this message about? I need you to remind me what this is all about. And boom, there it comes back. The full message. Now, what didn't make any sense now made all kinds of sense. We must rely not on our natural ability, that's what I'm trying to say, but on the Spirit of God. Even when you think you know, you don't know like the Holy Ghost knows. Amen? You don't. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. It's the best thing that you and I can do. When we settle that, the guarantee that we have is this, that power is made available, is the next thing. But we must understand this role of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. John 20 and verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed unto them, upon them, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Did they receive it then, or did they need to wait till the day of Pentecost? But let's look at the next few verses. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. If you say you are forgiven, they're going to be forgiven. If you say you are not forgiven, they are not going to be forgiven. Now that's a law of power. But that is a statement he made after he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Receive you the Holy Ghost. 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Why is that story there? Because what annoys the Spirit of God is our doubt. And this guy is not there, and what does he do? I don't believe. I don't believe. Now, one of the key things that when we're talking about faith and the ability to believe is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God spoken into our lives, we connecting with that Word of God, and the Spirit of God flowing through that Word and regenerating us and turning things around. Like I said earlier, this is foundation. It sounds boring, but you don't get this, you don't get that. Now let's put it to rest. I don't like ending in a negative note, but I kept this till the end so that we don't lose this very important point. Matthew 12 and 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall not. That's a strong statement. Shall not be forgiven unto men. Next verse. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now that is heavy. That is not anything to mess around with. The Lord is so firm about this. He says, there's no forgiveness. Not in this world, not in the world to come. No forgiveness, no way out. You can swear at me, curse at me. Okay, I can forgive that. Don't mess with the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the context of all of that statement? It's the context of people not believing what the Lord is saying and creating division. Don't go about poo-pooing what God is doing. Next verse. Either make the tree good and its fruit good. That's the next thing. It's about fruitfulness. Because the Holy Spirit is about fruitfulness. And when you mess around with that, you're messing around with what He's interested in doing. Let's go to the verses before that. Let's go to about verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except the first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that, what? Gathereth not with me, scattereth abroad, and wherefore I say unto you. So, he says, you want to have victory, you got to bind the strong man, meaning the satanic forces. And then you can get the harvest. And then he goes and starts talking about, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering with me, you are not with me. And then he goes, wherefore, because of that, I say to you. Now, when people think about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and this is one of the things that we have not seriously considered, and so we fool around with it in church. God does not like divisiveness, division. Don't be that agent, because you may find yourself fooling around with that particular aspect. Psalm 133 says, and I'll come back to, maybe I might come back to this particular passage. Behold how good Tobey, and how pleasant Tobey it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. And watch this. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. And when we talk about ointment, we're talking, it's a symbolic representation of the Spirit of God. Yeah? It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And then it says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descend upon the mountains of Zion, for there, in that place of unity, the Lord commanded thee what? Blessing, even life forevermore, eternal life. It happens in the place of blessing. Now, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and you are not forgiven, do you have eternal life? No. So, endeavor to keep the unity of the what? The Spirit by the bonds of what? Peace. Let's not fool around with generating an atmosphere of division. That is not of God. That's a good way to damn your eternal soul. The Holy Spirit is foundational to us being empowered. But the Holy Spirit and the abuse of the Holy Spirit is the one guarantee that I can say to anybody will determine that you do not have eternal life. That's not to mess with. See electricity here? Gives us light. Go stick your hand wrongfully inside this socket. And you'll be lit. Your hair will stand like Don King and you'll be fried up. That's the Holy Spirit. You don't mess. Let the Holy Spirit do his thing. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit and you receive power. Fool around with the Holy Spirit and there's no recall. There's no, okay, redo. No redo. No repentance. Ananias and Sapphira found out. Did they not? First thing, in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about this in the next few days. Tomorrow is going to be much more up-tempo, not like today. They came, and the first thing after the day of Pentecost, and that's something I would like for you, you know, because I know I will not be able to cover it all. Go to the book of Acts and look at the first things the Holy Spirit did. First things that the Holy Spirit did. Just from chapter 2 right through to, I guess you can go up to verse chapter 7 if you want. But the first things that the Holy Spirit did, they are telling of what the Holy Spirit is about. First thing he did was to cause a man that was paralyzed, remember, for 38 years. In essence, unfruitful, restores health to him and brings him, because the Holy Spirit is in the business of gathering, brings him inside the temple. Yeah? Spirit of God is causing fruitfulness. Very first thing he did, on the day of Pentecost, thousands, yeah, were added into the kingdom. Fruitfulness, everything about fruitfulness, change of status. But in the midst of all of that, the Holy Spirit killed. Huh? Do you think Ananias and Sapphira had part two? No. And what was their blasphemy? Lies. What causes division? Lies. Huh? That's why in the book of Revelation it ends up, and all liars, that's how it ends, will spend their time in the lake of fire. And all liars. Every form of lie. That is not our portion. Amen? We're a united force, pulling together. We want the kingdom of God to come and God's will to be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Well, we're going to wrap up today by praying one key prayer, which is the first thing that we know about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit creates the atmosphere for which every change takes place. Brooded upon the water. And you know, when you think about brooding, what do you think about? Chicken, the hen. Huh? That's exactly what we need to think about. That he's in there covering so that fruitfulness can take place. So that's the first thing that we see about him. And that's what we're going to ask God for. God, cause us to experience supernatural fruitfulness and birthing. Amen? That's what we need. You ready to pray that prayer? Rise with me. And let's just cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. We need the Holy Ghost. And we need the Holy Ghost to do its thing in our lives. Let's talk to God. Just talk to God right now. Right where you are. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to God. Lord God Almighty, we want your Holy Ghost. We want your Holy Spirit. We want your Holy Spirit. You said you will give to us power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Brood upon us now and generate the ability to be fruitful. The ability to break forth, the ability to experience the prophetic word manifested in our lives. Holy Spirit, we need you now like never before. We need you now to be able to take our nation, to be able to see transformation in our families, to be able to see and experience supernatural increase in your church. Lord of God, Holy Spirit, come upon us, rest upon us now. You are the Spirit of truth that rested upon Mary, and the result was a Savior born. You are the Spirit of truth that came upon Elizabeth, and therefore a prophet was released into the earth. We ask now, Holy Spirit, that you come upon us now. Abide in us and with us. Father, you are God, and you reign supreme. Lord, O God, like never before, we cry out to you now. Grant to us your Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, O God, your Holy Spirit, O God, your Holy Spirit, O God, without measure, your Holy Spirit, O God. Father, we receive this Holy Spirit. We receive this Holy Spirit. We receive this Holy Spirit. For we walk, O God, in obedience to your instruction. You give your Holy Spirit to those that obey you. Father, we obey your word. We obey your word. And we say, O God, in the name of Jesus, do it for us as your people today. Lord, O God, we assume nothing. O God, we presume nothing. We just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon our lives. Come upon your sons and your daughters. Come upon your church. Come upon this body of Christ and bring about supernatural change. So, Lord, oh God, we can experience supernatural fruitfulness and the birthing of purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive your anointing. We receive your anointing. We ask, oh God, Holy Spirit, that you will come and begin afresh, oh God, a fresh work of grace in our families. Lord, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come upon our children, come upon your church, come upon our businesses, come upon, oh God, everything that we do. For Lord, oh God, we know that when your Spirit is abiding, Father, there will be the release of power power that will bring about supernatural change in every area. Oh God, we receive, oh God, the manifested presence of your Spirit of truth in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, intercede for us. 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 Holy Spirit, we ask, intercede for us. In the name of Jesus, you are the Spirit that was given to us. In the name of Jesus, intercede for us now. Intercede for us now. Intercede for us now. Concerning our marriages, concerning our relationships, concerning your church, concerning the harvest, concerning, oh God, our businesses, concerning, oh God, our relationships, concerning everything that impacts our lives. Intercede for us. 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 Concerning our finances, intercede for us. In the name of Jesus, intercede for us. Concerning our fruitfulness, intercede for us. Concerning increase in our lives, intercede for us. Concerning joy, intercede for us. Concerning peace, intercede for us. Concerning unity, intercede for us. Intercede for us. Concerning soul winning, intercede for us. Intercede for us. Concerning the will of the Father, intercede for us. We ask, O God, do for us what we know nothing about, and receive all the glory, all the honor. Help us to walk uprightly before you. Help us not to hinder your will, your purpose. Help us never to resist you. Help us never to quench you. Help us never to grieve you. We receive this grace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that you came out tonight to participate in this time of seeking the heart of God. May the Lord God Almighty help us all live the life of victory that God has purposed for every one of us. Not one person shall be lost. For the God of our salvation says to us that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Amen. We are contained in the presence of his goodness. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll continue tomorrow night as we begin to explore other things concerning what God wants to do. This is a very special festival of God. Passover, Pentecost, and Atonement, represented in the Word of God when the Lord talked about the sow of the seeds, and some produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's about the special offering of Passover, Pentecost, and Atonement. These are special times that God steps in to do something very unique for each one of us. And I encourage you to prayerfully hear from God on what he wants you to do this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, as it relates with you sowing seeds. Amen? And I encourage you as best as I can. I cannot tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit speaks, right? If you ask a question, the Spirit of Truth will speak to you. When I gave my offering today, I listened to hear, what exactly do you want me to do today? And just do that. God never comes to take anything from you. He comes to increase you. Amen? And may we all experience supernatural increase. Let this Pentecost be a Pentecost that we'll remember as a Pentecost that God did something supernatural for our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Good night.